Heal Thyself, Using a Holistic Approach with Dr. Eric Madrid.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Today, we have a special podcast for you. Basically, I am sitting down with two third-year medical students from UC Riverside, Rashid Awan and Chinadu Orenusi, both who I have been precepting for the last couple of years. So we are going to have a discussion about medicine, life, how to balance it all, and even discuss a little bit of rap and hip-hop. So stay tuned.
What's up, family? Welcome back to the channel. Today's video is, I told you guys last week I was going to have a special guest this week, and we have the one and only, my attending physician, or my preceptor, Dr. Madrid, and we're also joined by Yachin over here. So today's video is going to be kind of like a podcast style video. So Dr. Madrid, he's my family medicine preceptor, and so we're going to be having a back and forth conversation, just kind of talking about my perspective as a medical student versus him as the, you know, top dog doctor.
So that's what they say.
Yeah. So just to kind of give you guys like a little like different perspective from like a med student standpoint versus like an attending physician standpoint. Let's just get right to it. So first, actually, Dr. Madrid is going to be the one kind of going through the questions. We'll be going back and forth between Chinadu, me, and Dr. Madrid. We can just go ahead and begin. We'll just make it a really informal, kind of casual conversation.
Good. So I'll introduce myself, Eric Madrid, family medicine. I went to Ohio State University, graduated a long, long time ago in 2002. We just found out here that you were how old?
I was 8 in 2002.
I feel old.
Same.
And actually, my kids, who are just almost the age of these young men here, tell me I look exactly the same, except I got more gray hair. So for all you med students out there and residents, you may not change much over the next 15 years, except you are going to get a little bit more gray as the time goes on. So that's just the nature of it. There's nothing you can do to prevent that, obviously.
I told him I was losing hair. Like, I was getting patches of hair on the side.
That happens. We have that in common.
Oh, there you go.
Alopecia areata.
Areata, right? There you go.
All right,
cool. So first question.
So first question I have for these young men is, I just want to hear about where'd you go to, what college did you go to, what was your undergrad, and what was your major?
Cool. So Chinadu, go ahead.
Well,
you're a little cut off from the. It's okay.
Get closer. So the questions were, where did I go for undergrad? What was my major?
Exactly. And why medicine?
Okay. So for me, I went to UC Riverside for undergrad. Surprise. Yeah, so I went to UC Riverside for undergrad. I was a biology major. I decided to just take the easy way, go straight for that.
We worked hard for our bio degrees.
No, we did. No. But then, like, you know, still, like.
Yeah. It wasn't like a biochem or like a neuroscience.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know.
By the easy way, I mean, like, as a bio major, you automatically cover all the prereqs. So yeah. You don't have to think about it. It's just do everything we tell you to do and you're fine.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I meant. And then why medicine? For me, medicine, I mean, I think that my biggest influence for medicine, I had a lot of family members in the medical field. So they got me interested in it at a young age. And then when I actually started volunteering and doing it, I don't know, I just fell like more in love with it by myself. So it was always like a thing for me. It was always an ideal for me. And it was just something I eventually fell in love with.
And if you had to do it over again too, as an undergrad, what other classes do you wish you would have taken, maybe electives? Because I know, right, there's some classes I would recommend for pre-med students or college students. Are there any classes that you would recommend that a medical or pre-med student take prior to applying to med school that might have made medical school a little bit easier for you?
Physiology. Yeah. We learned the physiology behind like plants.
Neuroscience.
Yeah.
Neuroscience.
Yeah.
I think probably physiology and then maybe a histology class.
Histology.
That would have made med school a lot easier the first couple of years.
Learning everything from scratch right before the exam.
Yeah. That was our first exposure. Like, we have not been exposed to any neuroscience, no brain pathology, none of that.
And we avoided those classes like the plague.
And that hurt us.
I remember taking a biology class in undergrad. But then, you know, you forget a lot of that. And then I'm going into medical school, doing my anatomy class. And I remember thinking, okay, let me make sure I get this right. We have two kidneys and one liver. Right? I mean, I was so lost. And I'm thinking, my gosh, I should have taken this anatomy. And I didn't take any anatomy. And I'm like thinking, okay, I think most of these people know that we have two kidneys, one liver, a four-chamber heart. And then here I am, like a fish out of water, you know, first year med student. And I'm like, you know, it was like, I felt like it was all new to me. Yeah, we were like, what? I'm like, how does this work? I felt, you know, so anyway, yeah, so... biology or
physiology, anatomy, histology stuff. Yeah,
a little bit of that would have made first and second year of med school way easier.
Less of a struggle.
Less painful.
And
how about you, Rishi?
I went to UCR for undergrad with Chinadu. Me and Chinadu actually graduated together.
Roommates.
We're still roommates. we met at the in the beginning of freshman year. That's when, you know, we were just getting used to college. We were both knuckleheads, especially Chinadu. We dormed our first year. Then the second, third, fourth year, we were actually we rented out a house together. We're still in med school. We're still living together.
So okay,
It's cool. But I was a UCR. I went to UCR. I was a bio major. And my journey to medicine, I tell everybody this, but like I feel like when I was in my mom's womb, my mom had already decided that I was gonna be a doctor. Right. She was like what's it like preconditioning right. to go into medicine, right, and like I was like two, and she was like, you're gonna be a doctor. Yeah, you know? Right. But like so,
subliminal
medicine. and so that's kind of my initial. But I have no other family members in medicine. I was kind of like the first in my family to go to college, graduate, okay. let alone go to medical school and all that. So I went into college knowing I wanted to be a doctor. Just for the superficial reasons of my family wanted me to go into medicine. But then when I got into college and I started like volunteering, and I started like going to the free health clinics, spending time kind of within the community. And that's when I truly found why medicine. Mm-hmm. It was just because we're in a region where it's very heavily underserved. There's minority populations. It's just an underrepresentative community. And I think interacting with those people and kind of seeing like how many health disparities exist, that's kind of what pulled me in to medicine. And I've seen my family members experience the same disparities that a lot of the people in this community are facing too, and that's kind of what pulled me in.
Good.
To medicine. So how about you, Dr. Major? What so, you know, what, so, again, what for not forced, but what kind of drew you into medicine?
So my journey was interesting. I started off as a business major, actually. And so when I graduated from high school, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I was interested in medicine, but I thought to myself, this is going to take too long, and I don't know if I want to spend all this time in school. So in the meantime, we had a family business, which I helped run and I was involved with. So I actually went to a community college for the first few years, and I majored in business. And after about 2 years, I decided I didn't want to do business anymore. I wanted to go into medicine, which was something that I was interested in as a youth, but, you know, again, kind of lost my way. But so here I am 20 years old now, deciding to go into medicine. So I'm at a community college, right? Cerritos Community College in Los Angeles County. And I decided to switch my major to biology, right? Into the sciences.
That's a
complete separation, right? So now I was at the community college for 2 years, including summer school, right? So I had a lot of credits. And I decided to go into biology. So, of course, I'm taking, you know, general chemistry, biochemistry, physics class, calculus, including summer school. By the time I graduated from a community college, I had 126 semester units. Okay, and for some of you who don't know, that's how many units you need to get a bachelor's degree, right? And I barely had my AA degree. Right,
that's
so
intense.
it was crazy, but you know, at the time I was thinking, you know, gosh, I've wasted all this time. And in hindsight, you know, education knowledge is never a waste of time. Mm-hmm. You know, years later I realized I'd be using it here to help run this company and help this company to grow, and so on. So, but anyway, so I switched. So I went to the sciences. I transferred over to UCLA. Microbiology and molecular genetics was my major back in the late '90s, and definitely. especially with the genetics, it's not even close to where it is now. I mean, yeah. We knew a couple genes back then. DNA hadn't even been, DNA hadn't even been really deciphered at this point. Obviously, it was, discovered by Watson and Crick in the 50s, but it hadn't been, decoded at this point. Google was still coming of age around 97, right? I still remember the days having to go to the library and having to actually pull journal articles and had a Xerox a card.
We don't feel that.
Right, yeah, exactly. I had to literally go and like copy one article at a time and, 10 cents a page. And, so things have changed a lot, obviously. But then obviously I applied to medical school and ended up going to Ohio State. And again, for a lot of Californians, unfortunately, about half of us, we have to leave the state and just to go to medical school because there's not that many medical school slots in the state of California. And we're obviously one of the biggest states and one out of every, I think, 8 or 9 people in the U.S. live in California. Mm-hmm. But yet we have, less openings in the state of California for medical school than the state of Ohio does, actually. Ohio has more openings. So these geniuses, obviously, were fortunate to stay here. Some of us had to leave the state.
I'm here too.
Yeah, you too. I had to leave the state, but it was a great experience. And but after one or two cold winters, and I was ready to get back to California where the family is and my wife's family and so on. So we came back here, and like I said, I did my residency at Presbyterian Family Medicine and came out here to Southwest Riverside County in 2005. And have been practicing ever since.
And then we came along.
So one of the things too, guys, you got to realize that these guys may think I'm really smart because I'll teach them a lot of stuff. But sometimes before I teach them certain things, I have to actually go and double check and look things up and make sure I'm telling them the truth. Mm-hmm. So just, for those med students out there, your attendings are probably doing that to some degree or another, or they'll be quoting a study that, and they're giving you the impression that, they remember this study from 10 years ago and believe it or not, they just looked it up and stuff. So those are just some of the tricks of the trade and stuff. So to garner the respect of the students.
So, wow.
What a memory. He remembers the whole pathway. He remembers the electron transport chain and the mitochondrial,
all that little
metabolism. Enzymes. Yeah, and they think I remembered it from, from undergrad, but no, I looked it up like the night before. That's how that works.
Now we know.
Now you know.
Cool. So kind of on the same lines as that. So you're a family medicine physician.
Correct.
What kind of, out of all the specialties, what kind of drew you into family medicine?
So for me, family medicine, the goal, in my opinion, is to help prevent issues. So medicine, I think, is too focused on trying to solve problems after they've already occurred, trying to fix heart attacks, trying to, manage diabetes, manage high blood pressure. But for me, it's been a lot more rewarding to help prevent those conditions from ever forming. So when patients come in their 20s or 30s, and I can tell they're maybe insulin resistant, pre-diabetic, and we can get them on a good diet and exercise routine and actually prevent them from becoming a diabetic or developing high blood pressure, to me that's very rewarding. Also being able to get people off of medications as well through diet and lifestyle changes. So I'm really big in that. And I really try to encourage my patients to, eat appropriately, to exercise, to get their weight down, to use maybe technology to help them with that, such as fitness trackers, Fitbit, Apple Watches, and so on. Right? You got one? We all got our fitness trackers. So to me, I think the importance of, a primary care in family medicine is to be able to help and truly prevent a lot of illnesses. Not to mention just, I have many, many patients who we take care of, the great-grandparents, the parents, the grandkids, the great-grandkids. So having, 3 or 4 generations.
Yeah, it's a cross-generational.
Right. Yeah. And it really kind of puts things in perspective when perhaps that the parents are suffering from dementia or some other chronic disease. And then all of a sudden the daughter comes in and she can't sleep at night. I can take it from a different approach instead of just saying, hey, you need more drugs, to make you sleep. I can empathize and say, hey, I know why you're having trouble. I know your mom's not doing so good. I know your kids are having some problems, and so on. So I can kind of take it in a more holistic approach to help solve the patient's problems and help them find strategies other than simply pharmaceutical reliance.
I feel like you have a more detailed picture of the entire, of like kind of everything that's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think too often too, and And obviously I refer to specialists all the time, and specialists are very important, and you know, they help a lot of patients with a lot of problems. But I think the problem is they focus so much on one small component of what's going on with the patient that sometimes the whole picture gets missed. And a lot of times that's to the detriment of the patient and stuff. So I think, you know, specialists, while very necessary, it's important for the primary care doctor, whether internal medicine or family medicine doctor, to kind of take all the specialist recommendations and try to put it in a language that the patient can understand, and to help create an action plan for that patient so they can actually make some meaningful change that will result in, you know, good outcomes. So question back for you guys though. Mm-hmm. So obviously you're in your third year now, a little bit more exciting than your first and second year where you...
Thank you.
So tell me what your routine was like your first and second year first.
Cool, man. So Jen, you want
to... Okay, first
so you can talk about like first and second, because... You can talk about first and second year, and I'll talk more like third. On third and
okay.
Yeah, third and kind
so
of
going on. I'll start off first year. I'll start off just like beginning of first year after starting med school.
Wait, did
so.
You enjoy first year more or second year more?
It was one of those. You guys have heard the idea, you know, the grass is always greener.
Right.
Like, you always think like, oh man, I wish I was there. So
right.
First year, I spent most of the time thinking like, man, I don't have enough time to do anything. Then you get in the second year, you're like, wow.
Man, I had a lot of time.
You're like, I was so privileged. And I made it the third year. The same thing. You're always going to feel like you're going to have more time later on. Then you get there and then you find the reality. There's always a give and take. There's always pros and cons to everything. But you know what? First year, I think the biggest thing was transitioning. Transitioning from college, from undergrad, into medical school. So doing that... was just trying to figure out, like, how do I study? Trying to figure out, oh, what am I going to do on my first exam? How's the exam going to be? How's everything structured? I remember one of our first lectures in medical school, it was like over 100 slides. The dude was like, memorize everything in this.
The test in 3 days.
I looked at Chin and I was like, I've made some poor decisions.
I looked at it and I was just so daunted. And I mean, they crammed as much information into that lecture as possible. I felt like everything that was crammed into that lecture was something I spent an entire quarter learning.
Yeah. And that was only one of like three lectures that
yes.
day, right?
Yeah. One of three lectures that day. It was something else. So first year was it was challenging.
Yeah.
But we made it. We made it out. And then second year came along.
How many hours would you, I mean, so what was your routine? Like, what time would you start in the morning? What time would you go to sleep your first year and even second year?
I switched up one thing I learned, like, starting med school, the most important thing for me was adaptability. So I switched every single block. So for every subject we were learning, I changed my study habits. I had to a little bit. So, you know, the first block, once I got a routine down, you know, I would wake up usually around... I'm a morning person, so I'd wake up
he's like up at like 4.
I'd wake up early and just, you know, get all my studying done and I'd wake up like 5.
Five.
I'd wake up like 5, get most of my studying done. Podcasting, oh my gosh, that was the God's gift to medical students. Podcasting, I would just wake up at 5, podcast the lectures for the day, and just study at home in my pajamas. Just
so all your lectures were on podcast?
Yeah. They podcasted all of them. It was amazing. I loved
Very
it so
nice.
Much. I loved it so much.
But like when mm-hmm. he'd wake up at 5, do all the podcasts, and he'd be done around 8 or 9,
right.
And that's when I'd be waking up.
Be like, that's because you were probably going to sleep at 5.
No, there were a couple times when I was going to sleep, I heard Chin waking up. I was I am so screwed tomorrow. Yeah. But all right, so continue.
Oh, man. Yeah, getting out of first year was something else. No, definitely, like, waking up and studying, that was the first challenge.
Right.
Just trying to figure out, what time should I wake up? When should I study? When should I do everything? Just structuring, like, getting everything ready for the exams. One of the biggest things in first year was anatomy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how you were mentioning, like, you know, prepping for stuff beforehand, taking the right classes? We didn't take any anatomy classes. We didn't take physiology. We didn't take any neuroscience classes. All of that stuff came up in first year. So that's when, you know.
So I wasn't the only one learning that we had 2 kidneys and
no,
one liver.
No,
okay.
I was like, I didn't Great. Know we had a kidney.
Great.
Prostate.
What's a prostate?
I was like, what's the prostate? Oh man, anatomy was a wake-up call.
That was a wake up call. I remember seeing that at first. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to.
And a lot of our first year was spent like half. We had like half didactic and then half like anatomy. Yeah. And so the first year was anatomy heavy.
First year's very anatomy.
Yeah, definitely.
Which came in handy for a second year and third year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But at the time, I didn't appreciate it.
Yeah. You'll forget a lot of it by the time you're been out for 2 years.
So what bone is this? Yeah. All right.
Second year. So, you know, got there. We made it. Remember, orientation.
That's great. They scared the crap out of us.
This is great. This is great. Our school was like, all right, we're taking the kitty gloves off now. I was like, what? They're like, yeah, you know, it's time to actually start med school. Meanwhile, my entire class just looks at each other in disbelief. What were we doing this entire time?
And yeah, they're like, we're going easy on you guys in the first year. And I was like,
So second year, the biggest thing about second year was taking that, this, you know, minor test called step one.
And if you don't pass step one, what happens?
You redo the year.
You cry.
You get a refund on that year? Or no.
That's no. 40, 50K.
Oh man.
Not to mention the $700 you spent on the test.
Oh, yeah.
Just to take it. It was a lot. But yeah, no, the interesting thing with second year was first year is kind of learning how everything worked. That's pretty much the definition of physiology. Learning how the body worked. Second year was more learning all pathology. The stuff that could go wrong mm-hmm. with the body. So pathology and pathophysiology. That was pretty much second year. So that was very, very interesting.
How many diseases did you have personally the second year, right?
You're going I diagnosed myself with 10 new diseases.
Oh, man. I had prostate cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, BPH, IBS, migraines. I had it all.
Not to talk about when we learned sight. Oh, man. Everyone diagnosing everybody.
I thought I had cervical cancer. I was like, what?
Do I have a personality disorder?
Oh, man.
Oh yeah. Man, that was a fun time. That was a fun time.
and then came third year, and that's kind of where we're at right now. And our schedules right now are, we're on different tracks right now. Mm-hmm. I'm doing OB/GYN, peds, family medicine. Chen's doing general surgery, internal medicine. And like kind of the different branches of internal medicine. So he's done cardiology, nephrology.
And you guys kind of mix them up, because when I was in med school, or at least at our med school, we would do, you know, 4 weeks on, you know, this rotation, mm-hmm. 6 weeks on surgery, mm-hmm. 6 weeks on OBGYN.
And that was it.
We never came back to it.
Yeah. So I have 3 weeks of OB/GYN, and then I go to 3 weeks of peds, then back to 3 weeks of OB/GYN, then back to 3 weeks of peds, then OB/GYN. So we're like kind of getting thrown back and forth. There's pros and there's cons. Some of the cons is like you get so used to being at one facility, working with the same attendings, mm-hmm. working with the same residents, and you kind of get used to it after 3 weeks.
Right.
But then what happens is they take you out and put you somewhere brand new.
Gotcha.
And then by the time you come back to the original spot, those same people might have rotated out. And so, but there's also the pros of it kind of keeps everything fresh.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So like everything, you don't
see. You never get too set in your ways for one thing.
So it's kind of like real primary care in that sense too, because mm-hmm. in real primary care, I walk into one room and I have a person with migraines. I walk into the next room and I have a person with a urinary tract infection. I walk into the third room and there's rectal, you know, someone with rectal bleeding. So in reality, that's kind of how it is.
Yeah,
it's everywhere.
Yeah, so there's pros, there's cons, but it's a unique approach, and so far it's been cool.
Good.
Yeah.
And then how about free time wise now? I mean, like, what are your, how much week time on the weekends do you have in the evenings?
Weekends. I remember just this past weekend was Monday was a holiday.
Labor Day.
Yeah. I remember my family was asking me if I was coming home. I was like, "What are holidays?"
Holidays are just really extra days to study.
It's just extra days to study or extra days to do a hospital shift.
Right.
No, he had a shift. School.
He worked. I had a shift. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at the hospital all day, on Monday. So.
Right. But you know, I work at county, and so we had the county days off. Right. So I had Monday off. But I'm sorry.
No, but honestly, weekends, it depends on what you're doing. I know at the hospital that I'm currently at, they have a policy of you get one day off a week. That includes weekends. So you get Saturday off or you get Sunday off. Other than that, you're there every day.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So.
And shifts usually last anywhere from like 10 hours to like 16 hours. And so depending, so like I was on labor and delivery, and so I would get there at like 5:30 and leave like at 7, right. Unless there was a delivery like coming in, and then we stayed till like 8:30. So that's, and then he's had to stay till like, he got there like, what's the, you got there at 5, left at like 11.
Yeah.
Are you guys doing overnight call yet?
We're not doing overnight call. We're just like,
well, I have.
I haven't done that yet. I haven't done overnight
call. Hospital? Yet.
For labor and delivery.
Labor and delivery,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't, yep.
So. And how about time to exercise? So obviously, and this is a thing, everybody, no matter what profession you're in, whether you're a teacher, a doctor, a med student, or whatever, I mean, finding time to take care of yourself is crucial, but it's one that almost everybody neglects. Yeah. And I always found it ironic that in medicine, here we are supposed to be taking care of everybody else, and we're working all these crazy hours, mm-hmm. and a lot of times we're the last one, you know, that we're taking
care of. We take care of the least of.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you guys, have you been able to find time to exercise, go to the gym?
Well, Chinadu is a lifting monster here. he can do 3 plates on a bench.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No way.
No,
I'm going to put it somewhere right here.
We did a video.
All right, the 45-pound plates? Or, yeah.
We're not talking
25-pound plates.
That's a good question.
Or 10-pound plates. I mean, no. Wow, but, I'm impressed.
No, go ahead.
Honestly, with exercise, you really have to make time. So there'll be days. I remember there was 1 week, the earliest time I got out of the hospital was 7. But then you just have to weigh, it's like, okay, you know, I'm out of the hospital at 7. I need to be there at 5:30 a.m. Can I fit in an hour of gym time?
Now you got to go home, study, eat.
And you just got to go home, study, just live your life. So
Now your first and second year, were you guys listening to podcasts? Or would you go work out and listen to podcasts and lectures while you exercise? Is that something that a lot of people do? Or
so we have classmates that go to the gym. They're like actively still learning. They're listening to the podcast, mm-hmm. listening to all the lectures. No, it just stopped recording right now. Oh, but yeah, so there's... Sorry, it stopped recording. But there's people on both ends. There's people that... So we were the ones that kind of went there just to kind of relax and kind of get away from medicine or get med school for a little bit.
Right.
Then when we got back home, then we started up again.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you? What did you...
it's been tough. It's been tough. Again, you know, my kids are getting older now, but, you know, when they were younger... My oldest is 20. I have a 17-year-old and a 16-year-old. But again, it was tough because I would get home at 7:00. I'm exhausted. Then I'm helping them with homework and, you know, calculus and chemistry and all that. And by the time I'm done, it's 9:10. Really didn't want to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. So it's been tough. But now that they're older, I've found more time to go to the gym, go for evening walks, listen to podcasts as well.
Yeah.
And just try to multitask because again, there's obviously only so many hours in the day mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us have learned how to multitask and try to get as much done. But at the same time, it's important to have time when you just turn off your brain. Mm. And, you know, and there's times too, like when I'm off or if I'm on vacation, you know, I don't even want to think about medicine. I mean, there's times where, like, if family members are calling me, like if I take a week off and I'm not doing any medicine at all, right, and I'm just R&R, my family members will call me and they'll have medical questions. I'll be like, look, guys, call me next week. I don't even want to think about medicine.
I love you.
I love you. It doesn't sound urgent. I don't want to make a diagnosis. I don't want to do anything right now because my brain is fried and stuff. And I think, you know, there's just so much people don't realize, you know, within medicine, you know, there's obviously a lot of people who have jobs where they're physically taxed and they do a lot of physical labor and you're just physically exhausted at the end of the day. Within medicine, we become very mentally drained all day. We're making split-second decisions, sometimes very quickly, and people's lives depend on it. We're prescribing medications. We have to make sure those medications aren't causing any problems, aren't interacting. And at the end of a 10, 12-hour shift, I think our frontal lobe is just dead, and you just need to completely unwind and find that quiet time. So that's a good thing that you guys are going to the gym and being able to do that and disconnect for that in that manner.
Yeah, but as the years, we're getting more and more busier. So like freshman year of undergrad, we were going to the gym for like 3 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, now.
How much were you lifting back then, Jim?
Oh, not as much, actually. Really? Surprisingly.
Yeah, but now we have, we're lucky if we can get in like an hour and 15, but we all like a minimum an hour, like that's our goal. We need to go in for at least an hour. And that's as much as we can do, but it's, you do as much as you can.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. So next question.
Hobbies at all? Oh. You guys have any other hobbies outside of medicine, outside the gym?
Chinadu. Other than being, you know...
besides being a professional bodybuilder.
I love TV shows. Okay. No, honestly.
He's the guru of Netflix.
Like, oh, really?
Netflix?
Series? What's the last series you watched? Or what series are you watching?
The last series I watched, I just finished it today, was Manhunt. Yeah, it was the one about the Unabomber.
I remember that.
It was very interesting. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so two things I love doing. Watching TV shows.
And reading.
Reading.
Okay.
Those are two things.
How about you? Netflix?
Me?
Amazon Prime?
YouTube! I really love doing YouTube. I love making the videos for all the students out there. So YouTube is really big for me. I love going to the gym.
Music? How about music? What's your favorite rapper?
Favorite rapper right now, J. Cole.
Jermaine Cole.
This dates me a little bit, but I just downloaded last night actually Eminem's Kamikaze.
That just came out.
It came out like 2 days ago. So I downloaded it yesterday or the day before.
Did you see the diss of like who he dissed and then they dissed back? MGK.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
It was pretty good though. I listened to the whole thing the other night. Actually, just kind of went for a walk. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I didn't listen to a podcast that night, but I went for a walk on Sunday night actually, and then just kind of listened to the whole.
What did you think?
10 tracks. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
Do you like his old stuff better or his new? Because it's different.
I like his old stuff as well. I like his old stuff. I'm kind of politically oriented too, so I kind of like it when music has some kind of political message as well. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of the music out there today is just very kind of dumb in the sense that it's not really sending a message.
And it makes
me think, is it just dumbing down the people who are listening to it? So when there's music that can actually have a message.
Have like an intellectual kind of like
behind it. Even a lot of Tupac or Immortal Technique.
Yeah.
Good messages and so on, and Eminem. So I kind of tend to gravitate towards that kind of music.
Cool. Yeah, that's why we like J. Cole, because it's not so much about like, you know, the negative aspect behind hip hop. Mm. It's more the positive message and kind of, you know, the meaning behind hip hop. And it intellectually challenges you.
Right.
That's kind of what I think of. Draws us and
definitely,
but it seems like the again, not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but it seems like the establishment really kind of promotes even more of the music that has no intellectual.
It's the marketing, it's catchy.
Some of it's catchy.
Marketing,
it's
money,
right.
Yeah, it sells. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but that's the state of that should be the topic of one of our next few podcasts.
State
of hip hop featuring medical professionals.
Exactly.
Cool. How about you? What are your hobbies?
Hiking as well. Yeah. So one of the things that's nice, after, you know, I know when you're a med student, you're kind of living, you know, barely making it and scrambling for this meal and that meal, and you know, I think I remember even a few times in college, you know, we're taking the extra forks and the extra ketchup and toilet paper. I probably need to, you donate back to your school, you kind of make it up and stuff. But again, one of the nice things though, being out, you know, having been out for almost 15 years, my wife and I, we have a cabin up in Big Bear, California, and it's kind of our second home. So, you know, we go up there 2-3 weekends a month. And again, it's a nice way to disconnect, to not think about medicine, mm-hmm. to go and go for hikes, and just to get away from it all and just kind of, you know, get yourself ready for the week that's coming and, you know, recover from the week that just ended. So I think that's one of the things, you know, for the med students out there and the residents out there, you know, it does get better. You know, you're still going to work hard, there's no question. But
there's a light.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to have more resources available to you so you can go travel and enjoy yourself and you know, travel nicely and stay in nice hotels versus hostels, eat at nice restaurants versus off the street wherever you might be traveling.
We had Taco Bell.
It has its plus. I've had many Taco Bell over the years and stuff. But again, you know, but there is definitely light at the end of the tunnel. You know, again, you're still going to work hard, but you're not going to work as hard in most cases, and you're going to have a better quality of life. And you have to decide too, you know. A lot of young medical students that come out, you know, there was a saying too that we had in med school. When you're a medical student, if you try to live like a doctor when you're a medical student, you're going to live like a medical student when you're a doctor. So, again, a lot of student loans out there. I think, you know, now students are getting almost $300,000 worth of student loans.
Yeah, easy.
So live frugally. Don't get crazy. Remember, anything that you buy now is going to cost you maybe twice as much in the future because you have to pay it back. So, and just kind of find happiness and, you know, be content where you are. And, you know, knowing that, you know, you're going to have more resources in the future, but you don't want to end up having to pay back all these loans and get yourself into trouble. So,
cool. Well, thank you.
That's my advice.
We gotta take that advice too.
we're
gonna go buy a Bentley.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to wait at least until you're a resident.
But all right, guys. I think that concludes this episode. Chirdu, do you have any final words? No, Dr. Madrid, thank you for your advice.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
No, thank you. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Again, check out Dr. Madrid's podcast channel. I'm going to put all the description and the details in the description below. Check out Chinadu's soon to be YouTube channel.
He's joking.
Well, all right, guys. Follow me on Snapchat, IG. Join the Snapchat family, the Instagram family. I'm going to put it somewhere right here, and I'll put it in the description below. But thank you guys so much. I'll see you guys probably next week. Or next week. I do have exams coming up, so wish me luck. But all right, guys, I'll see you guys next time.
See ya. Peace out.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.